here we go, ready? We're starting the second paragraph of Masechta Sumita. I was talking about the second bias, okay? First thing we talk about tonight is Harabayas. Harabayas is a big square. So this is the west. This is the east. Say this is the north. This Harabayas, one big gigantic square. When you stand at the Kotel, you stand behind this wall right here. There's the wall of Harabayas, right? So you're standing around right there. Machlok is definitely where Harabayas, where the actual Beis HaMikdash was. We know it was in the northwest corner of Harabayas, so it would be around there. We don't know exactly where on Harabayas it was, around this area. Again, Nafkamina, where can you actually stand? Because you don't understand the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but only the Kohen Gadol can stand there in Yom Kippur. So that's the Nafkamina, that's why we care exactly where this was. This famous Machlokes, we may talk about exactly where it was at the end. So the Mishnah says that Harabayas was 500 by 500 Amos, okay? So 500 by 500. Figure how many feet is that? What's that? That's like, I don't know. 7,500 square feet.
Square feet,
okay?
25.
What?
Well, no, because we're talking about
7,500. An Am is like a foot and a half. So a foot and a half. So times 1.5 gives you 7,500. Right? I'm sorry, 750. 750 feet, that's what it is. Yeah? Okay. That is the size of Harabayas. The Mishnah says the following, that the majority of the open area was from the south. So between the temple and the south, it's the majority of the area. Okay? That was an area of 250 amos. Okay, so this is more like in the middle area. Okay? And the Mishnah next says that the second largest distance was from the south, right? I'm sorry. First from the south, second from the east, right, which is right here. In truth, actually, what? Let's see here. Okay, second longest distance was from the east. Okay, the Mishnah is actually counting from this right here, the end of the Ezra Sisrael to the eastern wall. Okay, that was 213 amos. Okay, and again, the Mishnah is a machlokes whether or not the Ezra Snoshim, which is this rectangle, whether that had a wall or not, is a machlokes. 213 amos from the Ezra Sisrael to the east. Right. From the end of the Ezra's Noshim to the east was 78 Amos. So from there to the eastern wall of Harabayas was 78 Amos. The third biggest distance was from the north. Okay, there was 115 Amos between the north wall and the north wall of the Beis HaMikdash and the north wall of Harabayas. Okay. And then the shortest distance was between the western wall of the Beis HaMikdash and the back wall. It's 100 amos, okay? 100 amos between there and there. That was the measurements of Harabayas.
Wait. This was the end of the Ezra Sisrael, or the... just the
what?
The 213.
This is Ezra Sisrael right here, right?
Okay, yeah.
So from the end of Ezra Sisrael all the way to the bottom, again, the whole Ezra Sisrael, we didn't really speak about the Ezra Sisrael so much. This whole Ezra Sisrael, right, this is not really included. So when the Mishnah says the second longest distance of open area was from the east, it's referring to from the end of the Ezra Sisrael to the eastern wall. Okay? Why was this area so open? Anyone know? Why was the whole southern area so extremely so wide? Because the city of Yerushalayim was over here. So when everyone came in, and we said there were two gates on the southern side. There were two gates called the Shari Chulda, right? So since the whole city was there, people came to the base of Migdash, they came to the south side, and there were a lot of lishkos, we're not going to go through them, but there were a lot of different chambers with on Harabayas. The majority of stuff that went on the southern side.
You said we didn't know where the bias and everything was, but you just said the measurements of where it was, so what do you mean?
Depends where in Harabayas, meaning in terms of where Harabayas starts and ends.
Okay.
That's really the question. Okay. All right. So. Good. Good. So. Okay. Let's go back. Okay. Name. The next verse says a very, very famous line. Kolan nechnasin laharabayis nechnasin derech yamin umekivin v'yotzin derech small. Okay? So the halacha is that when you go on Harabayas, you have to go to the right. You're not allowed to walk left on Harabayas, right? So let's say you come in here. You got to walk right all the way around. You want to go there. You walk all the way around. You're not allowed to walk left, okay? That's the pashtos of the Mishnah. That's the pashtos. You got to walk for the right. Unless you are an Ovel or a Midor, right? The Mishnah says, if let's say you're an Ovel, let's say one of your seven Krovim, one seven Krovim passes away, so he is allowed to walk to the left. He's allowed to walk to the left. And if someone is a Menudah, that means if someone is excommunicated, right? You can be excommunicated for a number of things, or let's say you denigrate a Talmud Chacham, let's say you denigrate a Basin member, or you're summoned to the court, you don't come. For whatever reason, the court can say you're excommunicated, you're considered a Menudah, and the halacha is that an Avel, someone who's mourning, or a Menudah, can walk to the left. Can walk to the left. Instead of walking right, they walk left.
Do they have to?
What? Yes, they have to walk left. They have to walk left. And the people ask him, they say to the Avel, they say, they notice this guy who's walking in the opposite direction of everyone else, and they say, why are you walking left? Right, and the guy says, Shani Avel, because I'm an Avel. And then they say it in the Mishnah says, they say, Hashokhe Nevayis Zayin Nachamecha. Right, the person who sees the Avel walking left, he says that the God, Hashem, who dwells in this house, should console you. That's what they say to the Avel. To the Menudah, for the person who's excommunicated, right, who's also walking left, they say, Hashokhe Nevayis Zayin, Yitain Belibam V'yakarvucha Diver Meir. The Meir says, what do they say to him? They say that the one who lives in this house, referring to Hashem, he should comfort you. He should give you in your heart that you should come closer to him and do better, right? And that the people who what?
Right. So
what?
Already
going where? Are you in Harabayas? Whatever reason, Harabayas, who knows? Yeah, whatever reason, yeah. Whatever reason, Harabayas, right? So what do they say to him? They say that the people who put you in Nidoy, right, should, right, it should be in their hearts that they should get rid of their excommunication. Amar Rav Yosi, one second, hold on right there. Astison kilu avro alav esadin. But you made it like they, the court established who's a Nidoy improperly. But obviously if they said he was a Nidoy, he's supposed to be excommunicated, there's a good reason for it. So there's no reason to say that you should say that
Yeah,
make it seem like they did something wrong. That's what Yossi says. Ella Hashochen by Zay Yitem Belincha V'Sishma Devir Chavercha V'Karvita. Instead of Yossi employs a different Lashon, and then look at the Mishnah Midos to see exactly what the Lashonos are. But the Hashem should put in your heart that you should have listened, you should have respected whatever the thing was, and you should come back to the tshuva, listen to what your friends are saying, do the right thing, and then the court will negate their excommunication and you'll be good to go. Okay? That is in terms of that, okay? So those are the first two Mishnayos. Let us go by through, okay? Okay, spoke about this a little bit before. Inside Harav, okay, I'm going to erase this a little bit. Can I erase it? Can I erase the board? Yeah, okay. So, now let's talk about just the Beis HaMikdash, okay? Just the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. We mentioned before, Lifnim Imenu, right? Let's say this Harabayas up here, okay? You don't have to really erase that, right? Okay, this is obviously northwest. I'm not being accurate with the drawing, but you get the idea, okay? So Lifnim Imenu, if we were in Harabayas, there was a fence around the Beis HaMikdash, okay? There was a long fence that went all around the Beis HaMikdash. Anyone know what that was called? Again, this is the outer wall of the Azara.
Yeah, wait.
This is the outer wall of the Azara, meaning the outer wall of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Yeah. okay? What was
Aksandra?
Aksandra was actually like a porch on top of, like, going around the entire not circumference, like the perimeter of the base. The Megdash, there was a wall. There was a wall that went around the entire Zara. That was called the Sorig. Okay. That was called the Sorig. That was a fence, a low fence that went around all of the wall of the Azara. Okay. So the way it was made was as follows. So the Sorig, if you're looking at it from the side, okay, so let's look at the Sorig. So it was an amahai of stone. Okay, so let's say this is the ground, okay? In total it was 10 amos high, okay? 10-12 amos high, sorry. So, 1 second. Right, it was 10 tefachim high. Good. Okay. So the first ama was of stone. Okay. This is the wall. Okay. Let's say this is stone. And then the sword. And then it was like a net. It was like using wood, small pieces, but it was making a net structure. Right, like a net. So crossing over versus a piece of wood, and crossing each other like that. But those are pieces of wood, okay? You get the idea? Right, this is the Sorig, okay? One amahai of a stone, and then it went up with like a net kind of structure made of pieces of wood, okay? The total height was 10 tefachim. Okay, they're about 5 or 6 tefachim in an amah. Okay, so that means that was an amahai. There are about 4 tefachim of this net structure, the wood pieces, okay? And then every now and then, instead of having this net structure, there was actually stone go all the way, all the ten tefachim, right? So every little bit, right? So you have that, then you have it again, like here.
Like often or not that often?
No, equidistant. It's not exactly how many there were, but there were pillars like this. There was an amahai of stone, a part that was net, and then every now and then you had a whole pillar of 10 tefachim high of stone. That was the design of the Sorig all around. Okay. Says the Mishnah very famously, there were 13, okay. There was unique kedusha to the Sorig, right? What was unique kedusha? That goyim and people who were non-Jews, people who were tamei lemeis, and people who had relations with the nida, were not allowed to go beyond the sorig, okay, beyond that fence. They're allowed to walk on har habayis, but if you're a tamei meis, if you touch a dead body, or if you are a boal nida, you have relations with the nida, or if you are a non-Jew, you're not allowed to go beyond the sorig, okay, beyond this fence, go all around, okay. That is unique halacha. Says the Mishnah, there were 13 kratzos, okay? 13 kratzos, which means there were 13, breaks in the fences, okay? So the fence went all around. There were 13 places all around where the fence was broken. Okay, I'm not sure where they were. 13 places all around. Who broke the fence in those places? Who knows? Anybody know? No, so the Greeks. When the Greeks came to attack the temple, right, when they came to attack the temple, they made those, they broke in the fence in 13 places all around. Okay. Says the Mishnah, what?
Would that matter, like, a regular person
would have to have? Oh, no, that's good. So, that was the Malchayav, that was the Greeks. What else did we say the Greeks did? The Greeks, when they had full control of the temple, right? The Greeks took over the temple, right? The Chashmonaim eventually overthrew them, and that's how we have the holiday of Hanukkah, right? So the Greeks had control of the temple. They also served Avodah Zarah on the Mizbeach. And we said they actually broke up, they destroyed the Mizbeach, and they put it in one of the Lishkos, in one of the chambers, to remember that, right? So when they initially took control, they broke the Sorig in 13 different places. Okay? When the Chashmonaim eventually took the base of Middash back, they fixed up those the breaks in the fences, and they made Xerah to remember those breaks in the fences. That whenever you would pass near a place where there was a break in the fence, right, there was some kind of simon, some kind of reminder there, you would bow down you bow down on the ground to thank Hashem for helping us take over the Greeks. So 13 places all around, that when you got near them, you're supposed to bow down. Hishtachavaya. We don't know Hishtachavaya nowadays, right? But after the Kurim Hishtachavim, right, we bow down with our knees. That's a total joke. That's not actually used to bow down. They go down totally 100%. As well as that, we're not allowed to, because no base to make dash. But that's what they used to do. They used to go 100%, totally their whole body on the ground. Okay? So 13 places around the Sorig where you bow down. Okay. Between the Soreg and the wall of the Azara, what was this area called?
What?
What was this area called here? Between the wall of the Soreg, the fence, and the wall of the Azara. This is called the Chel, okay? This area was called the Chel, okay? It was 10 amos long. Okay, it was like an intermediate area, like the entrance area before you got into the actual temple. Okay, that was called the Chel. It was 10 amos long. Okay? And there were 12 stairs there, okay? It was only east, okay? In the east. There were 12 stairs between the Chel and the Soreg and the Azar, okay? So they actually went along the entire Har Bayis, okay? There are 12 stairs, only on the east side, between the Soreg and the wall of the Azara. 12 stairs going up. Okay. Good. How high were the stairs? Okay. Okay, so, let's mention something else here. On the wall of the Azara here, okay? On the wall of the entrance, here's the entrance to the entrance. On the wall, there were holes. There were holes where they kept some of the offer for the Paraduma. Brother, we mentioned before that they used to burn the Paraduma, the Kohen God, the Machlokas, who would be in charge of burning the Paraduma, would take the bull all the way out to Harazesim. They would have to burn up the bull. I'm sorry, the cow, the Paraduma, and then he'd bring back part of the ashes that he mixed with the water for the sprinkling of a person who becomes Tamei Mase. Where the Torah talks about Parshas Chukas, how you deal with the person who becomes contaminated by a dead person. So part of the ashes you leave on the actual place where you burn it, part of the ashes you put in these windows that was next to the eastern gate of the Ezra Stasha. Okay. Good? The height of each of these stairs was half an amma high. Okay? And the length of the stair was also an amma. Okay? I'm sorry, half an amma. So, okay? Each stair was half an amma high and half an amma long. Okay? Which means in total, how high were the stairs?
Six
amas high, right? So that means Har Bayis was flat here. It was flat. And then you had to go up six amas high, right? This whole area was elevated six amas high, right? So you had to go up stairs to get to the edge of Slush. Good? Six amas higher than the lower area. Okay. What? What? The stairs? Yeah. We also mentioned, okay, we'll talk about it in a second. Okay, good. That was in terms of that. Right, the Mishnah says, Kol HaMailos HaYusham, all the stairs in the Beis HaMikdash, they were half an amma high and half an amma long. Okay, that's the
all
club.
All other stairs, awesome.
All the stairs, except for Chutz Mishal Ulam, except for the stairs of the Ulam we spoke about before. Okay, so let's just do this, right? We have 12 stairs up to the Ezra's Nashim. These stairs were all half an amma high, half an amma long. Good. Okay? Then you have the Ezra's Nashim, and then up to this gate, what's this famous gate called? Right here?
Shar Nicanor
right there. There were 15 stairs, okay? 15 stairs, 15 Shir HaMalos that we say, right? Can I get those 15 stairs? There are 15 stairs. There were also half an amma high, half an amma long. Okay?
All stairs were 1/2 by 1/2, or just 1/2 high?
Half by half, meaning half an amma high, half an amma long. Half an amma high, half an amma long. That was the situation. The 15 stairs, And then between the Ezra Shul and Ezra Kohanim, there were four stairs. We'll talk about that later. Like, there were stairs between the two Azaras there. Those stairs were also half an amma high, half an amma long. Well, three of those stairs, really. And then, the stairs leading up to the Ula. Okay, there were 12 stairs there. The stairs were not all half an amma high, half an amma long. If you guys remember, we said that... the majority of stairs were half an amma and amma long, right? That was the that was the majority, right? So every stair was half an amma high, which means what? Again, if there are 12 stairs, that means it was 6 amma high. We said under this whole area, there's something called the Otem, a huge base which was 6 amma high, which means that to get from this to there, you had to go up 6 amma high, you had to go up 12 stairs, that was just an amma high. So the every stair was an amma long, except for the fourth and the seventh stair. The fourth and the seventh stair were 3 ammas long instead of 1 amma long, okay? And the 12th stair was 4 ammas long. Okay, so quick chazara, 12 stairs here from the Har Habayis up to the Ezra Nashim, 12 stairs, each being half an amma high, half an amma long. We had the 15 stairs here, each being half an amma high, half an amma long. We had a few stairs between these two Azaras here, the Ezra's Yisrael and Ezra's Kohanim. Right, those stairs being half an amma high, half an amma long. And then you have the 12 stairs going from here up to the Ulam.
How many stairs?
Each one being half an amma high and amma long, except for the fourth and seventh stairs, which is 3 ammas long, and the 12th stair, which is 4 ammas long.
Wait, how many stairs are between the Ezra Sisrael and Ezra Skolani?
We're almost done. What?
How many stairs are between the Ezra Sisrael and Ezra Skolani?
There were 4 stairs. We're going to talk about those stairs in detail later. Okay? All of the gates, the Mishnah says, Kol HaPsachim Ve'Asharim Shayim Sham, all of the gates in the base of Migdash, they were Govan Eser Amos Barachman Eser Amos, they were 20 Amos high and 10 Amos wide. Okay? For example, we had gates, we said we had two gates in South of Harabias. We had a gate here, Shar Tikonos. We had Shar Teddy right here. Actually, Shar Teddy's makes an exception. And we had Shar Shushan in the east, right? We had Sharos on the actual Azara. We had all these gates, Shar Adelik, Shar Bechor, Shar Karmak. All these Sharos, all these Sharim, they were all 20 Amos high and 10 Amos, and then 10 Amos wide. Okay? Plus Mishal Ulam, except for the Ulam, which was 40 Amos high and 20 Amos wide. Okay? That was the exception. All gates, all entrances were 20 Amos high, 10 Amos wide, except for the entrance of the Ulam, this big guy right here, which was 40 Amos high and 20 Amos long. Okay? That was the exception. Kol HaPsachim Shein Sham Hayol Daltos. The Mishnah says all of the entranceways, they had two doors. Okay? It wasn't like you walk in, there was a door, you pull the door open. Every single entranceway, where you walk into the entranceway, and had two doors, okay? Two doors. In addition to the two doors at every entrance we had, there was also a curtain. Okay, there's a curtain. I'm going to have to draw that. Right? Every single entrance we had two doors and a curtain.
Curtain in front?
Yes. Or in back. I'm not sure yet. Except for the Ulam, the Mishnah says, Chut Mishal Ulam. The Ulam only had a curtain, okay? The entrance way here was just a curtain. There were no doors there. So all the entrances we had two doors and a curtain, except for the entrance of the Ulam, which only had a curtain. Okay? The Mishnah says, Kol HaSharim Shayusham, Hayulan Shkufos. All of the gates had a normal lintel, a lintel on top, right? So, right, there's a lintel on top, right, like all doors have. And they had two side posts. Regular doors, right? That's what they have. They have a lintel on top, and they have two sidebars, right? Every single door has one. Except for Chutz Mishar Teddy, except for the north gate, right? Where we had a machlokes exactly if it had a purpose or not. This was the only gate that didn't have a normal structure. This gate was actually a triangle like that, okay? You walk through, that was that. The side posts were slanted, okay? Instead of being straight up, the side posts were slanted and there was no top post there. Okay, that was Shar Teddy, which is the north gate of Har Habayis. So there were two stone sidebars leaning on each other. And then there was no top bar. Okay? The last line of the Mishnah. Kol Hashem She'isham Nishtan Yal Shazav. Right at the beginning of the second bias, right? The second temple was built by Ezra and all those coming out from the exile, right? And they were poor Jews, they had no money, they were just barely given permission by the king Koresh to rebuild the second temple. Everything was of copper when they first got there. Right? Everything was copper. When King Hordas came along, King Herod, right? You have a guy who's connected, got the best connections of anyone in the world, right? He's got connections to the Romans, he's got money, he's got resources. He says that he revolutionized the whole base of Mikdash. He says, you Jews, this is really nothing special. He breaks down this temple completely, and he redesigns, he keeps the same structure pretty much, but he makes it much, much more beautiful. He makes a much, much bigger temple. Right, the Gemara says, if you haven't seen the temple of Hordas of King Herod, you really haven't seen a beautiful building. It was not only a beautiful temple, it was one of the most beautiful buildings in the world that the world has ever seen in all of history. So when King Herod came along, he made everything that was copper, he made the all the gates that were made of copper, he made them gold. Okay? The only exception was Shar Nicanor. Shar Nicanor, this gate was the only gate that was not switched over to gold. The Mishnah's two reasons, either because Mivnei Shenasa VeHenes, because there was a very famous miracle that happened with these gates. We spoke about before how those gates actually got there, with the guy Nicanor who bought the gates, there was a famous miracle that happened. Either they didn't change it because of that, Zecher LeNes, right, we didn't want to change the doors to gold, or because the type of copper of the doors was similar to a certain type of copper that was similar to gold. Okay?
Those doors remained intact from the first base of the
Nicanor? Yeah.